Okay, so last week I tried to do the whole advert before the theme tune thing. It didn't go so well. But my mate Dave, who was selling that fridge, the sale fell through. So he's still got the fridge to sell. So if you want to buy my mate Dave's fridge for, he wants 50 quid for it. It could, hang on. Hold on, sir. Sorry. Right, hold on. Hello, mate. No way. Oh, this is a joke, mate. Look, I want my free. This probably, the sale's going to fall through, probably. Oh, have they? And it's gone. You got the 50 quid. Well, I want 3 quid of that. What? Okay, you want me to sell what instead? What? I'm not going to sell that, mate. Not on my podcast. No, I don't care if you've washed it. That's disgusting. Look, just give me the 3 quid and sort yourself out. This is a. I'm not happy, Dave. I'm not happy.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Pod. Cast with your host Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. Just look at you. You are magnificent. I'm not exaggerating. If you're sat there thinking, is he talking to me? Damn right, baby, I'm talking to you. You look fabulous. Fabulous. Now, it's episode 15 of the Total Christmas Podcast. It's been a hard 2 weeks. I won't lie to you. I have missed you. I've been in my corner of the room crying my eyes out. But you're here now. Everything's going to be A-OK. So let's start off with the likes on Facebook. I want to say a massive thank you to Nigel Ashmore, Shelley Arnold, Keith Stetcher, Erica Mohammed and Wayne Clark. Thank you to you five for liking the Facebook page. It clearly shows that you've got great taste in Facebook pages. Much appreciated. It really does mean a lot if you do like the Facebook page, because that's the only social media stuff I do, so it does help get the word out of that. I do appreciate that, so thank you. Last week I mentioned Janita Mulligan, who'd sent me a lovely email. Well, she sent me another even lovelier email, and get this, are you ready? Janita's middle name is Christmas. Now, I know you're at home thinking, oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Or maybe she changed it by deed poll. She didn't. Her name is Janita Nullig, I hope I said that right, Nullig Mulligan, and Nullig is the Irish word for Christmas. That's her middle name. Christmas is her middle name. And from her email, it sounds like she is a huge Christmas fanatic. She says she starts preparing in September, and she also mentioned that because of the quiz I did a couple of episodes ago, she's been inspired to do her own quiz with her family this Christmas. So why not? Why don't you do that with your family? Why don't everyone do a Christmas quiz? You can't go wrong, or you can go wrong. It could be awful, but it probably won't be. It'd probably be fabulous. I also got an email from the show's number one fan, Mr. Lee Mayer, and this is one of the things he mentioned in his email. I'm going to read it out to you now. On Friday, I picked up a copy of the Sainsbury's Christmas. Sainsbury's is like a supermarket here in the UK. It's like one of the sort of most popular supermarkets in the UK. On Friday, I picked up a copy of the Sainsbury's Christmas food book to see what they had on offer for this year, and it was a bit disappointing. Usually, I love looking through the book for ideas and things to buy food-wise, but it just didn't have the same feel as it usually did. Until I went into Marks and Spencer's. Marks and Spencer's is, it's an interesting one, Marks and Spencer's, because really it's more of like a clothes shop, but then they do also do food in it as well, and it's not just food, this is Marks and Spencer's food. If you're in England, you'd get that reference. Anyway, where was I? Until I went into Marks and Spencer's and picked up their book, and man, let me tell you, that is one hell of a sexy book to look through. There wasn't a page where I didn't want to eat something off of it. I'm guessing he doesn't mean as like using the page as a plate. I think what he means is the pictures of the food that you wanted to eat. I would highly recommend having a look. It's just a work of art. I've got to say, Marks and Spencer's is renowned for the quality of its food. I personally don't shop in there because I am a cheapskate, but my wife does like shopping in there. I try to tell her not to. She won't listen to me. Why is she going to listen to me? I'm only her husband. But yeah, I haven't got a copy of the book myself. I'm yet to get out there and grab a copy, but I will. And much like Lee Mayer, I will use it as a plate. No, that's not what he did. I don't know. I'm not paying attention. I also got another email from Frank the Tank, and I just love the name, if nothing else. This is what his email said, and it's really cool, actually. So Frank lives in Michigan in the United States, and he said, "My wife and I love Christmas, and she will be starting her Christmas village soon. The village has a train and scenes from A Christmas Story, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, It's a Wonderful Life, and The Grinch. Our favourite Christmas version of A Christmas Carol is the old version starring Alastair Sim. I think his transformation on Christmas morning is amazing, plus it has the Walker line in it." And he's also put, this is from a couple of episodes ago, "When your daughter gave the more detailed explanation of her recipes and said cook it at a temperature of 1°C, I laughed and laughed. Watch out, mate, that kid will steal your show." And I'm not lying to you, I am concerned about this, because most of the emails I get are just saying how good Robin and Juno are. They don't spend hours screaming into a microphone like I do, okay? I'm the one screaming into this microphone. So let's just, in future, if you want to send compliments, you can send some to Robin. But, you know, it's Christmas. Think about me, okay? So time to think of others. I am others. Okay, thank you. Right, got that off my chest. But thank you very much, Frank, for the email. Lovely to hear from you again. Frank the Tank. What does he look like, this man? Do you think he does look like a tank? He could do. I don't know. Speaking of Robin and Juno, they are coming up right now, and this week I have got Robin to give some suggestions on what the best Christmas present is to buy people. So, let's move on.
Most wonderful present I ever received.
So today I've got Robin and Juniper here, and they are going to tell you all about Christmas presents. First off, what is the best Christmas present you can get someone, Robin?
Everything you want for Christmas.
Everything I have for Christmas.
Okay, so have you got any proper ideas, Robin? Go on, tell the listeners what is a great Christmas present.
The best present you could buy is a chocolate magic wand. And if you eat it, you turn into a real magic fairy.
That's a very good present. Could you tell the listeners where they could buy one of these?
In the toy shop.
Do most toy shops sell these?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you got any other ideas?
This is a really good present. If you have a really good dress or like a t-shirt, if it's made of candy floss, you could eat it all day or every day. Till the day is ended.
So what you're saying is they should buy a t-shirt made of candy floss?
Yeah.
Where can you buy these?
You can only buy these in a clothes shop.
Oh, not a toy shop. Okay, that makes sense. And can you recommend a good clothes shop that sells candy floss t-shirts?
Yeah.
Go on then, which one?
Good Sweetie Clothes Shop.
I'm not sure if I've heard of that, but that sounds like the sort of place you'd go for that sort of clothing. Okay, have you got one more really clever idea that you can tell our listeners, Robin?
Yeah. If you have a bed and it can fly, if you want to go on holiday, it can fly you to a holiday place. And if it hasn't got a bed there, you already have a bed there because the bed flies you there. And if you want to lay down and relax it and it hasn't got a bed, you've got a sofa. Or you can lay down in the bed you got home.
So what you're saying is, you buy a bed that can fly, and then you use the bed to take you on holiday, and then if you get to the holiday place and there's no bed, it doesn't matter because you've already got a bed with you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That's really clever. Where do you buy one of these beds?
In a magic bed shop.
A magic bed shop. Oh, it's a magic bed, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you get that? So we've got three great ideas. It's a chocolate wand. If you eat it, you turn into a fairy. Is that right?
Yeah.
Candy floss t-shirts. And
you can eat all day.
You can eat them all day as well, apparently. And a flying bed. And they're easy to get because you just go to the flying bed shop. So there you go. That's Robin's great ideas for Christmas presents. You want anything else you want to add, Robin?
Christmas song.
Are you going to sing a song?
Yeah, I'm going to make it up.
Okay, here we go. Well, apparently Robin's going to make up a Christmas song. Here we go. Go.
In Christmas, you like Christmas because you got so many presents, you want in Christmas time. You like Christmas all day long. If you want a Christmas song, and it is the good day for Christmas, you get a Christmas song every day. And when you want a recording thing, I could make you a Christmas song. That is all the finished now, but now I'm done singing the song.
Thank you, Robin. Say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.
Okay, so that was Robin's Christmas song. Now we've got Juno, and I don't quite know how to say this, but her Christmas song is a Christmas song. You'll see what I mean. Here we go. So there we go. Not only are my daughters two fantastic singers, but they're also amazing lyricists as well. Yeah, I've got two great songwriters on my hands. Yeah. Let's just move on. This is the most wonderful present I've ever received. That jingle. Good Lord, that jingle. I have nightmares about that jingle. I'm not kidding. It haunts me, that jingle. And it would take me minutes to do another one. But now I've sort of had it on the last few episodes, I feel like I've got to stick with it. Right, let's just do this present thing. I know some of you are going to find it tricky to buy the things that Robin suggested, okay? Flying beds, they're not as easy to come by as Robin might suggest. So if you can't get hold of one of those, and they're also quite expensive, so if you can't get hold of one of those, I have got a fantastic idea for a reasonably priced present that you can get for someone. Now, this is the cool thing, because this idea, it could be quite expensive, or it could be incredibly cheap, and it's something you could make yourself, or you could get one produced for you. So what it is, it's sort of like two presents in one. It is a plant pot and a plant. Now, you might think, oh yeah, fantastic, well done, we've all seen plant pots. But no, there are so many different types out there. If you go on Etsy, which is particularly good for this, type and think of anything that you're into or a friend of yours is into. So for example, like Marvel superheroes, Star Wars, Doctor Who, anything like that, anything sort of popular culture, odds are you'll be able to find a plant pot that's either in the shape of, like, maybe say if you're looking at Star Wars, it could be like a stormtrooper's helmet, or it might just be like painted to look like the colours of a superhero, stuff like that. I'm a massive fan of Charlie Brown. I always love Charlie Brown, not just the Christmas special, all year round I'm a fan. And I searched for a Charlie Brown plant pot, and they had a lovely one. It was a plant pot that had been painted with Charlie Brown's face on it. It was only a few quid, not massively expensive, and it was a gift that I would have liked. So I'm sure you'll be able to find something that your friend is into. If you can't think of something like that, you can get a personalised one with a picture on it. So if you want to get something for like an auntie or uncle or parents or grandparents, you can get a pot that's got a picture printed on it, okay? Now, I can't remember if this was on Etsy, but I've definitely seen a couple of websites where you can buy this. A little bit more expensive to get one printed. If you don't want it printed, you can get one that's been engraved, and that's a lot cheaper. So it could just be engraved with a message or the year or whatever you want to write on it, you know, that's something you could do. Or you could just get a decorated plant pot that's got like flowers or birds on it. That's an easy option. Or if you're really like artistic, there's these sets out there where you can buy the plant pot yourself and you could decorate it, or get the kids to decorate it, which is a fantastic idea, because I know that my parents particularly love getting gifts from Robin and Juno that they've painted on themselves. They're not the best artists, I won't lie to you, particularly Juniper. She's not got the skills. She's only two, so that could be the reason, or it could be that she's just not artistic. I don't know, we'll see. So you've got the plant pot, that's all sorted, nice one, well done. Now you've got to put something in it. Now, the easiest thing to go for is a cactus, okay? Get a cactus, that's ideal for a gentleman or a lady, and it takes very little maintenance. So there you go, you've got a plant pot with something on it they love, plus a cactus. Easy, done. And they're cheap as well, you can buy a cactus for pence. So that's sorted. If you don't want to go with a cactus, another great idea. If you don't want to go with a cactus, how about something for cooking, like a herb of some kind? You know, you could get like rosemary, a small rosemary, or maybe like a lavender as well. That's always nice, make the room smell nice. And you can buy miniature lavenders, which will be ideal for indoors. Another great idea for someone that likes cooking, or a gentleman that likes hot food, a hot chili. And what you can do with these is you buy like a little kit that comes in a box. It's like grow your own chilies, so you can either buy them at the plant, which is, you know, could be a bit tricky because you've got to wrap it up in that, or you buy them the chili kit. That way they grow their own one, and normally it's literally just put a bit of soil in a pot, put the seeds in, water it and keep an eye on it, and you know, in a few months time they've got some scorching hot chilies that they can cook with. Everyone's a winner if you like hot food. If you don't like hot food, you're a loser. That's not very nice, is it? I didn't mean it quite like that, but you get the idea. Another great idea, maybe for someone a bit younger, but you know, it works for all ages, but kids would love this. You can buy beans that have got like a word written on them. So for example, it could have Jack written on it. You plant the bean, and then when it grows, the shoots come out, and like on a couple of the lower leaves, it'll have the word written that you've had on the bean. I don't know how it works, but it's fantastic. If you don't believe me, just Google it. And the kits aren't that expensive either. So that's a great idea. Another idea is a Venus flytrap. And you can buy kits for these as well. And everyone loves a Venus flytrap, apart from flies. They're not fans, I'm led to believe. So that'd be a great one. You know, they grow their own Venus flytrap in the pot that you've bought them. So there you go. There's another idea for a fantastic present that you could buy for young or old, and it's not going to break the bank. So if you've got an idea for a fantastic present for someone that's not too expensive, then email me the idea and I'll read it out probably in the next episode, because I really am running out of ideas already. So that's a fantastic present. Now this is the worst present.
Vain joy and surprise, and the gifts we despise.
It's craptacular.
This episode's worst Christmas present ever was sent to me by our anonymous technology correspondent. It's very good. I hope you enjoy this as much as I did reading it. Here we go. I'm going to read it out as he sent it to me. I have a worst Christmas present story for you. It was a present received by my dad from my maternal grandfather, so his father-in-law. Some background on the two characters in this story. My father has many qualities and is a fantastic father, but he is not a hands-on DIY type, being altogether more bookish. He is capable of basic house maintenance, putting up shelves, decorating, etc., but it has never come naturally to him. My grandfather, on the other hand, is extremely practical, having built his own house. He is of the generation who would mend anything and had a small shed in the garden which was full of tools, small fixings, old rags which smelled of oil, and wood and chemicals long since banned. Two different men you'd struggle to find. So, to the fateful Christmas. Perhaps my grandfather saw it as gentle encouragement. Perhaps he did the classic of buying someone else what he'd really like. Or maybe he hoped they would bond over some project or other. We may never know. But, on that Christmas morning, my father opened his present from his father-in-law to find, under the seasonal wrapping, I could do this. But on that Christmas morning, my father opened his present from his father-in-law to find, under the seasonal wrapping, can you believe that? No one saw that coming. Imagine that on Christmas Day. Oh, this has got a bit of weight. This has got a bit of weight to it. What could this be? How do you make yourself? Who in the entire? I can't imagine anyone in the world. There could be a bloke whose house is falling apart because he hasn't got enough nails, and on Christmas Day he opens the bag and it's a bag of nails. I could have bought these down the shop. I wanted some chocolate or something. I love this. It was. And how do you keep a straight face if I was there and my dad opened a bag of nails? I'd be rolling. Anyway, I haven't finished. It says, he of course did the polite thing, Oh, lovely. Just what I've always wanted, etc. But we as a family have been laughing about it ever since. Goodness me. I love that so much. Do you know what? I feel like buying a bag of nails for my wife for Christmas. She wouldn't get the joke, though. Good God. Actually, no, I'd never risk it. I wouldn't risk it. Thank you so much to our anonymous technology correspondent for that. If you have got a worse present than that, or if you've got just a bad present, a story of a bad present, you've got to email it in because it's so much fun. And I know all the other listeners will love hearing about it. Thanks again. And now it's time for this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
When Scrooge awoke, it was so dark that looking out of bed he could scarcely distinguish the transparent window from the opaque walls of his chamber, until suddenly the church clock told a deep, dull, hollow, melancholy one. Light flashed up in the room upon the instant, and the curtains of his bed were drawn aside by a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old man. His hair, which hung about his neck and down its back, was white as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it. But the strangest thing about it was that from the crown of its head there sprung a bright, clear jet of light by which all this was visible.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past.
Scrooge then made bold to inquire what business brought him there.
Your welfare. Rise and walk with me.
It would have been in vain for Scrooge to plead that the weather and the hour were not adapted to pedestrian purposes, that bed was warm and the thermometer a long way below freezing, that he was clad but lightly in his slippers, dressing gown and nightcap, and that he had a cold upon him at that time. He rose, but finding that the spirit made towards the window, clasped its robe in supplication.
I am immortal. And liable to fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand there, said the spirit, laying it upon his heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
As the words were spoken, they passed through the wall, and Scrooge fell 30 feet, landing with a splat on the pavement below.
Ah!
That'll teach the tight git, said the spirit of Christmas past.
I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing! I'm in a store and I'm singing!
Hey! There's no singing in the North Pole.
This episode's Christmas Not So Classic song is a song called The Gift of Christmas, and it was released in 1995.
It's the gift of Christmas.
I want to take you back to 1986, when a television presenter in the UK called Esther Ranson started a charity called Childline. Now, the aim of this charity was to set up a phone line that young people in the UK could call if they were in distress for whatever reason. So the charity was set up in 1986, and in 1988, 2 years later, a single was released in aid of Childline by Wet Wet Wet. They did a version of the Beatles' With a Little Help From My Friends.
Ooh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, I'll get by with a little help from my friends. My friends.
Now, that song was a huge hit when it came out. It was Wet Wet Wet's first number one, and it spent 4 weeks at number one, raised loads of money for Childline. A few years after that, another single was released in aid of Childline. That featured a band called Big Fun and a singer called Sonia, which was a song called You've Got a Friend, and it wasn't that version of You've Got a Friend, it was like an original. It didn't do so well. I think it got to about number 14. To be honest, I had to listen to it. It was a little bit forgettable. Anyway, in 1995, another single was released in aid of Childline. Now, in 1994, the Christmas number one had been E17 with Stay Another Day.
To go away, don't think I could take the pain. Won't you stay another day?
Now, this song was E17's only number one, but it was a massive, massive success. Spent 5 weeks at number one.
It was number one over Christmas, and to this day, it's still a massive Christmas hit song. Even though it's not about Christmas, it's still a massive Christmas hit song in the UK. So the previous year was the peak of E17's success. And now the following Christmas, Tony Mortimer, one of the singers and the songwriter from E17, he wrote a new song as a charity single for Childline. Now this charity single had the following artists, and it's quite a list, so I'm going to read them out to you. So here we go. ASAP, The Backstreet Boys, Boyzone, CJ Lewis, China Black, Danny Minogue, Deuce, EYC, E17, Gemini, Let Loose, Emanate, Michelle Gale, Nightcrawlers, Peter Andre, Sean Maguire, The Flood, Ultimate Chaos, and West End. So as a collaboration, they recorded this song under the name The Childliners. If you're in the US, I'm guessing you probably don't know many of those bands at all. I'm guessing you've heard of Backstreet Boys, and you might. The funny thing is, EYC, they were an American band, but they never really had any success in the States. I think they might have had one hit single there, but they were pretty big in the UK. Some of the ones I've listed are a bit forgettable. ASAP, I'm not even sure if they ever had a hit in the UK. The Flood and West End aren't bands I was familiar with. Ultimate Chaos, I'd heard of. I remember Let Loose, they had a big number one single. Michelle Gale, she was really popular. Peter Andre, although you may not have heard of him in the States, is still popular to this day. I haven't got a lot to say about him, though. I'm not a fan. Boyzone, for a short time, were the biggest boy band in the UK. And Danny Minogue, she had a lot of chart success, not as much as her sister Kylie, though. And Sean Maguire, he was a TV star in the UK on TV shows called Grange Hill and EastEnders. Then he went and had a short singing career. And then you might know him in the States because he played the role of Leonidas in the spoof of the film 300, Meet the Spartans. And he was also in the TV series Once Upon a Time. He played the Robin Hood character in that. I think he was in over 50 episodes on that. So all these pop stars came together and they recorded this song, The Gift of Christmas.
The gift of Christmas.
And I remember when it came out, I remember in the build-up to Christmas, because it's one of those conversations you have in December with your friends and that. It's like, oh, what do you reckon is going to be the Christmas number one? And I was like, oh, it's definitely going to be that Gift of Christmas. Because it was sort of trying to follow in the footsteps of Band-Aid, having all the big artists of the time. Now, I say the big artists of the time. There was a lot of very minor artists of the time. I think from what I've read, some of the artists in it had never had a hit single. Some of them never had another hit single after this one. Some of them, it was right at the beginning of their career, so they were sort of pretty much lightweight pop stars rather than your heavy hitter sort of rock stars. But still, it was a pretty decent lineup if you're a fan of that sort of music. And I was pretty sure that, you know, all the young girls were going to rush out and buy it because it had all their sort of teeny bopper idols on it. So the song comes out and it comes in at number 9, and then it makes its way back down the charts, and on the Christmas weekend it was at number 11. So in a situation like this, you think there's going to be synergy where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. But it was quite the opposite, because coming in at number 9 at that time was not a success at all. Now, some of the bigger artists in it, Boyzone, E17, Peter Andre and Backstreet Boys, all of their previous singles had reached higher than number 9, and all of their following singles reached higher than number 9 as well. I'm guessing it all came down to the fact that the song ain't that good. Now, I've been listening to it quite a lot for the research for this segment, and it's stuck in my head, and I wish it wasn't. Because it's not a great song at all, and I understand why it wasn't the huge hit. It's a lightweight, poppy song. Christmas time is more for your heavyweight ballads. That's normally the songs that do really well at Christmas. And that is exactly what E17's big hit was the previous year. They got to number one with this Stay Another Day, which when you listen to it, despite it being a pop song, it's really a powerful ballad. And I still enjoy listening to it today. So the number one song that Christmas was actually Earth Song by Michael Jackson. And and that had spent, like, I think in the total it spent like 6 weeks at number one. Interestingly, Boyzone, that were part of this single, were at number two at Christmas. So that's, like I said, that suggests how the weakness of this song wasn't buoyed up by the combination of the artist. Anyway, that's the story of the song, its release, and subsequent, I'd say, failure in the charts. But this is the bit that really interests me, because I've watched the video of them all going in to record it. The video is fine. It's one of those ones where you've got all the artists just recording their segments. Pretty much a rip-off of the Band-Aid original video, to be honest, really, I'd say. If you watched it, you'd see exactly what I mean. But, and this is something that couldn't be said about Band-Aid, they performed twice on Top of the Pops. Now, I think that speaks volumes about the quality of these stars, because if they were massive stars, it would have been almost impossible to get them all in one place that close to Christmas. But they managed it. Now, when they're performing live, on the two separate occasions that they performed it live on Top of the Pops, just as an aside here, if you're not familiar with Top of the Pops, it was the biggest music TV show in the UK, and it ran for 42 years, from 1964 all the way up to 2006, and this was a show that could make a single, it could create new stars, it was huge. Every single week this show ran non-stop for 42 years before it ended in 2006, and in my opinion, it's a travesty that they ended it, and it's such a shame, but let's move on from that. So they got all these stars together on Top of the Pops. There they are all on stage. Now, this is interesting, because on the day of recording the single, the members of Boyzone, now Boyzone is an Irish boy band, they were big in the 90s, I think they've reformed a few times, I'm not sure if they're together at the moment, but they had a lot of number ones in the UK, massive success in the mid to late 90s. When they recorded it, only two of the members, the lead singer Ronan Keating and Shane Lynch, one of the backing singers, they were the only two there when it was recorded.
Who said that Christmas, yeah, was only for kids, yeah.
But on Top of the Pops, you had the whole band there. Both times that they recorded in the studio, the whole band is there. And I'm guessing that's because they had their single out at the time that they were trying to get to number one for Christmas. So that's why, like, all five of them were in the studio. Bit cheeky, though, the extra three of them going, oh, yeah, we'll be involved in that. Yeah, that'll get us a bit of extra time on stage. Yeah, cheeky boys, well done. So you've got extra members on stage. But what I found interesting was the ones that couldn't make it. Now, I mentioned all the artists. One of them was Michelle Gale. Interestingly, you know, I mentioned Sean Maguire earlier, who was in Grange Hill and EastEnders before becoming a singer. Michelle Gale, she was in Grange Hill and EastEnders before she became a singer. And she was great. She had quite a successful career for a while. I think she's on stage now. But she couldn't make it for the first recording, like when it was live on Top of the Pops. So they got some other woman to mime her line. And that was the thing, because it was on Top of the Pops, most artists did mime in those days. So, you know, they could quite comfortably just chuck someone else in and they just mime along for that line. Then, like I said earlier, Tony Mortimer from E17, he wrote the song. He's not even there. The rest of E17 are there, like the other three members, but he's not there. But he does a rap in the song. This is a bit of it.
Another child dies while mama cries. Why is the other realised like sunrise?
So he does this rap, okay, he's not there, so instead they get another member of E17, Terry Caldwell, and he does the rap. The thing is, he's wearing dark glasses and a hat, so you couldn't tell it's not him, but he's holding the microphone right in front of his mouth, so you can't see that he's miming. But anyway, I found that very interesting. Here's another little aside for you. If you are familiar with E17, they are still going, and when I say they, Terry Caldwell is the only member that's still standing, and there's two other guys, so it's like three members of E17. Terry Caldwell's the only one. He never sang. I don't even know what he used to do, maybe a bit of backing, there wasn't much. If you remember E17, he was like the short one with the goatee beard that didn't do a lot. He's still like trying to live the dream with E17. Anyway, let's not talk about that. So that was the first appearance on Top of the Pops, where a few people were missing. Then you've got the following appearance, and this time there is a lot less of them. Now, all of Boyzone are there again, all five of them, even though three of them weren't there when they recorded the song originally. But this time, not a single one of E17 have turned up. So forget the fact that Tony Mortimer wasn't there last time. Now, none of them are there. So Sean Maguire, he steps in and mimes along to Brian Harvey's line. Brian Harvey's like the lead singer of E17.
Let's all come together and make this world the best.
When it comes to Tony Mortimer's rap, they just cut it from the song. It's like, nah, forget it. He's not here. He didn't bother coming. Forget it. We'll cut that bit out. And it just cuts to CJ Lewis doing the second part of the rap. There's also another chap in there who I'm sure isn't the one who recorded the line originally, is miming along to it. But to be honest with you, some of these bands were so obscure at the time that I've no idea who's who in this one. It is a bit tricky. Some of them are more famous. I recognise, you know, Boyzone and Sean Maguire and that, but some of them, no idea who they are. I had to do a little bit of research because there's like an older guy in there. It looks like he's sort of in his mid-30s, maybe even 40s. He's sort of hanging around. You think, what is he doing there? He was in a band called the Nightcrawlers, but he's let's not go into that. Anyway, point being, there is no point. I just thought I'd tell you about what it was like when they were performing this song live. I'm guessing that was the only two times, because Top of the Pops was the biggest chart show. So I'm guessing those are the only two times that they did do it live. Not that it did a massive amount. And I'll tell you, interestingly though, I know that it sold like over like 150,000 copies, which is quite a lot. Bearing in mind it barely broke the top 10, but because these days, you hardly sell any copies. It's all done streaming or downloads. So I guess it did raise some money for Childline, which is a nice thing. Two other things I want to mention. I did mention the band Deuce. Now, I'd never heard of them. I knew nothing about them. But if you're from the UK, you might be interested to know that Ant McPartlin, out of Ant and Dec, he was married to one of the girls out of Deuce. And the other thing I want to mention, I don't know what it was in the 90s, but there's so many of them wearing sunglasses indoors. There's no need for it. I don't know if that was they thought they looked cool, or I don't know, maybe their eyes were so bloodshot they were trying to hide them, but there was a lot of them wearing sunglasses, okay? And then even when they're doing it live in Top of the Pops, this is a fairly dark studio, they got sunglasses on there as well. Not a lot of them so much in the studio, a few of them. Mainly it was when they're recording it. And to be honest with you, the only reason I can see for this is because they're concerned that they might actually get noticed. Because sadly, this is not a song that they're going to be recognised for. They're really not. Although, having said that, for a lot of the bands that were there, this was the biggest hit they ever had. In fact, in some cases, it was the only hit they ever had. Anyway, that is this week's song. It's called The Gift of Christmas. It's by the Childliners, and if you really want to look it up, you won't have any trouble finding it on YouTube. Probably put a link on Facebook. So that's this week's. Now let's move on to this. You lads, you'll love 'em, I'll love 'em, we'll love 'em, we'll love the you lads, the you lads, the you lads, those you lads. You've got to admit it, kids. The production values are going up and up on this show. They really are. I know you're loving that jingle. Don't pretend you're not. Don't pretend you're there going, God, I hate this. I hate it so much. I wish you'd never seen it. You love it deep down. Yes, you do. Right. This week's Yule Lad is called Skirgobler. That's the Icelandic. And in English, his name is Skirgobler. That's it. That's his name, Skirgobler. Before I tell you what he does, I will read out his verse from the poem we've been reading each week. Here it comes. Here we go. Skirgobler, the eighth, was an awful stupid bloke. He lambasted the skir tub till the lid on it broke. Then he stood there gobbling, his greed was well known. Until about to burst, he would bleat, howl and groan. So there you go. That's Skirgobler. So, first thing I want to do is explain what skyr is. Now, if you saw it, if you tasted it, you would think it is yogurt, but it's not, apparently. It is just a very, very soft cheese. That's the difference. I've actually got a pot with me here right now. I am going to gobble some skyr. Hold on a second. Right, you ready? This is me gobbling some skyr. Hold on. Of course, sour. It's got like a real sour taste to it. Nice though, but it's like a... It's pretty much like a set yogurt, or like a very thick Greek yogurt, but apparently it is a cheese, although it tastes just like yogurt. It's nice though, it's nice. I recommend you get some. Apparently it's really good stuff because it's like really high in protein and has zero fat. Let's have a look. Hold on a sec, I'll tell you what. This version I've got is per 100 grams, it's 0.2 grams of fat, so it's less than 1% fat. And it's 11% protein. So let's discuss exactly what Skirgobler does. So he lambasts the lid of the skir tub. Now the word lambast actually means criticise harshly. Now I can't imagine old Skirgobler is stood there looking at the skir tub lid going, oh, look at you, you're the worst lid in the history of the world. Call yourself a lid, you could have put a lid on a thing or something like that. Because he's lambasted it so much that it's broke. And I can't imagine he's going to break it, unless it broke its spirit. which I don't think you could do that. I've got the lid of my skier here, it's a little plastic lid, and if I lambasted that, I don't think it would break. I could spend days lambasting that. It would just sit there looking at me. Of course, it can't see, so it wouldn't be looking at me. I'm guessing he did something else to it, but they've used the word lambasted. He's had a go at the lid. I guess he's just broken it so he could get into the skier, this lovely, thick skier. Tell you what, if you're a starving Yule lad, this is the stuff you want to be eating. High in protein, low in fat. Actually, I suppose you want a bit of fat for your diet, don't you, for a bit of energy. So then he eats this skier so much that he's about to burst, and he's just rolling around on the floor, bleating, howling and moaning like an animal, I guess. You've got to know your limits, really, skier gobbler. Do you know what I mean? Gobble a bit. Imagine that. It's not being funny. I think I'd get sick of it before I got full up on it, because it's got a strong taste. Like, unless he was starving, like I said. Imagine that, if you came home, right, and there's just this Yule lad just rolling around in your garden going, oh, I've eaten too much skier, oh. Well, you shouldn't have lambasted the lid, should you? Oh, I'm sorry, I lambasted the lid. Oh, now I'm about to burst. Oh, get off my property, skier gobbler. I can barely move. All right, we'll stay there until you can move. I don't know. Anyway, that's pretty much all I've got for you on Skier Gobbler. If you're in Iceland, we're 8 days in now. You've still got 5 more Yule lads to go, so I'm guessing the present's sort of still about average. Yeah, unless you've been naughty, remember, like we talked about last week, you might have a rotten potato. Otherwise, you might have a half-decent present. But that's this week's Yule Lad Skier Gobbler. If you want to try some skier, it's spelled S-K-Y-R. On the one I've got, it actually says Iceland-style yogurt. It's not a yogurt, it is apparently a cheese. Although, I did look into it, and it says it should contain... Okay, stop the press, hold on. I've just been doing... This is how I do my podcast. I actually research while I'm recording. It's terrible. I am ashamed of myself, if it's any consolation. But I've just been doing a bit of research. Odds are, this stuff I bought, and I'll tell you why I bought it, it was Lidl. If you're not familiar with Lidl, you should be, because I mentioned it in the same episode where I was talking about Yule Logs. It's like a real low-cost supermarket in the UK. Turns out this probably isn't even skier. The fact that it says on it, Icelandic-style yogurt, is a bit of a red flag, because it shouldn't say that, because it shouldn't be yogurt. It should be a type of cheese. Also, it's made in Germany, not in Iceland. So I don't know what this stuff is I'm eating. It tastes nice enough, but it ain't skier. I feel like I've lied to you, people, and I'm ashamed of that. But it was one of those lies where I didn't even know I was lying. So the research I've done suggests that if you want to buy proper Icelandic skier, you've got to go to a specialty shop to get it, because most of it in the UK supermarkets is just a shady rip-off. So I don't know what it's like in the States or other countries around the globe, but in Iceland I'm guessing it's the real deal. But the version I've got is probably just a type of yogurt, and they've just called it skier. I don't know, I'm never going to be a Yule lad at this rate, am I? No matter how much I lambast the lid on my skier, it's not even skier. Should we just call that it, shall we? Yeah? Okay. This week's recommendation is a podcast called Santa by the Minute. Years ago, 2013, a podcast came out called The Star Wars Minute. And this was a podcast where a group of guys would watch a single minute of Star Wars, starting from the first minute, and then talk about that minute. And then the next episode would be talking about the next minute until they got to the end of the film. Now, since then, they've done all the original trilogy, all the prequel trilogy, and I think they've done possibly the second one from the most recent trilogy of Star Wars films. Thanks to that, loads of other people came out and did similar things with things like Back to the Future, Indiana Jones, The Big Lebowski. I tried to listen to that one, wasn't impressed. Jurassic Park, Ghostbusters. See, you know, interestingly, there's a few quite obscure ones as well. There's The Burbs by the Minute, That Thing You Do. So, you know, some not so big films. There's also a version that does Santa Claus the Movie by the Minute. And this is the podcast that I want to talk to you about today. Now, the podcast is hosted by a lovely couple by the names of John and Ben, which is short for Belinda. And each episode they talk about a single minute from the film Santa Claus the Movie. If you're in the States, you might not be that familiar with Santa Claus the Movie. It was a huge release when it came out in 1985, but then it wasn't a massive hit and its popularity soon declined. In the UK, it's still a popular film and it still gets shown on television every Christmas. It stars Dudley Moore as an elf, John Lithgow as like the bad guy, Beezy, and David Huddleston plays Santa Claus. If you're not familiar with David Huddleston, he plays the Big Lebowski in the film The Big Lebowski, which I mentioned only a few minutes ago. So how's that for a tie-in? Pretty good, if you ask me. Yeah. Now, the episodes come out each week, and it's just loads of fun. There's such a love of this film from the hosts. They really do adore the film, and they know so much about it. They've also got a copy of the novel adaptation and the comic adaptation that was printed by Marvel Comics when the film came out. So they sort of cross-reference between the two or three as they're doing each episode, and they go into quite detail. Well, they've got to, I suppose, if each episode is just a minute. It's worth listening to just because of their true love of the film. And another good reason to listen to it is because occasionally they have guests on the show, and I have been on the show. Yep, that's right, I've recorded two episodes with them, minutes 30 and 31, which are probably the two best minutes in the whole film. If I do say they're not, they're right. You know, as minutes go, they're all right. Yeah, and I think the first minute would have come. It's coming out either this week, is it, or next week? I think when this episode drops, I think I'll be out the following week that their episode comes out. Have a listen to it. I really think you'll enjoy it. I've got a little promo clip for you to listen to now. But if you're not a fan of Santa Claus the Movie, I still think you'll get a kick out of this podcast because it's so much fun, and they really do enjoy it. And just from listening to the podcast, you're going to want to go and watch the movie. And what's cool is that the movie, you can get it for like a couple of quid on eBay. So, you know, you could watch it every year. And I'll tell you what, show it to your kids. They'll probably think it's all right. They might not love it. They might do. I don't know. My girls don't mind it. Well, I say my girls. Robin, she's seen it. She didn't mind it. She was a bit young. Let's move on. Have a listen to the promo clip. Here we go.
Do you like podcasts about Christmas?
Uh-huh. Do you like podcasts about movies?
Uh-huh. Well, we have a podcast for you.
I'm intrigued.
I'm John.
And I'm Ben. And we're the hosts of Santa by the Minute,
the only podcast that breaks down 1985's Santa Claus the Movie 1 minute at a time.
The holiday classic starring John Lithgow.
It certainly should be.
Dudley Moore.
Isn't it self-explanatory? I'm an elf.
An elf?
Yes.
And David Huddleston.
Hold on tight, and don't worry. You'll be as safe here as you are in your own home.
You won't want to miss as Ben and I talk about 1 minute of the movie every single week.
Stop! Are you insane?
We post a brand new episode every Wednesday, and every episode is...
for free!
So there you go, that's Santa by the Minute. If you Google Santa by the Minute, it will turn up. You'll have no troubles finding it. And you'll be able to binge listen to about 29 episodes of it now, which is lucky because I only got to binge listen to 20 episodes and then I had to wait every week for a new episode. I highly recommend it. And this podcast is ending in about 2 minutes. So when it's finished, why not download an episode of theirs and have a listen? I think you'll enjoy it because they're such a lovely couple. It's great to listen to. It's loads of fun. And if you listen to minute 30 and 31... I'm in there! Woohoo! Yeah, that's this week's recommendation. Off you go. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. I say that every week, don't I? Do you think there'll come 1 week where I'll go, I hope you hated it. I hope you hated every minute of this drivel. I don't imagine that's going to happen, actually, because why would I do it? Why would I do it if I wanted everyone to... I want you to love it. I want you to really enjoy it. I want you to go and tell all your friends. I listen to this podcast. It's called the Total Christmas Podcast. I think the gentleman that records it has got some issues, but it's still worth listening to anyway because you could learn a few things about obscure British hit singles that didn't do very well in the charts. Something like that. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to recommend it, but as long as you do, I don't care. I want to say a big thank you to all the people that like the Facebook page. If you've got nothing better to do with your time, go and like the Facebook page. It means a lot to me. I'd like to say thank you to Janita for emailing me, Frank the Tank for emailing me, and of course the fantastic, oh dear, a bag of nails, people. He got a bag of nails. Anonymous technology correspondent, thank you for sending through that story. I hope everyone got a kick out of that like I did. And of course, a massive thank you to the fantastic singers, Robin and Juno. Yeah, they're brilliant. If you want to get in contact, you can do it through the Facebook page, or you can email me at totalchristmas@gmail.com, or you can go on the website, have a look. I stick some pictures up on the website of like things I talk about. You can listen to the podcast on there as well. That's totalchristmaspodcast.com. If you want to go on the website, you can contact me through the website. There's like a little form you can fill in thing, you know. That's totalchristmaspodcast.com. I'd love to hear from you. I really do get a kick out of it. Even if it's just a little short email, just saying that you're listening to the show. It's just nice to be in. It's just nice to have some human contact. When I'm sitting there for those 2 weeks, curled up in the corner of my room crying, occasionally I get an email and that lifts my spirits for a brief moment. Anyway, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Karen hated to say goodbye to Frosty, but as Santa promised, Frosty returned every year with the magical Christmas snow. And every year there was a great celebration with a big Christmas parade.